You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today, Monday, November 19th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. We'll be taking an in-depth look at tomorrow's headlines today. We'll be taking a look at a number of different but important issues, all related. It is day number 669 of the Donald J. Trump presidency. Of course, the fight against the deep state. Here are some, I'm going to take a perusal of really some of the key issues that are taking place right now over the weekend, events that have taken place over the weekend from last week and into today. You're going to be hearing more about various issues. First, the elections, of course, the midterms. You thought they were over, correct? Well, yeah, well, they're not over until they're over, apparently, according to the Democrats, the Socialist Democrats, Democratic Socialists. At any rate, Brenda Snipes resigns effective the 2nd of January of next year. This, of course, after her office was just shrouded by a number of irregularities, tabulation irregularities, of course, losing and not finding 2,000 ballots in the building, and so many other associated headlines. Of course, Bill Nelson lost his position after 19 years. Ron DeSantis won over Gillum there. So that's one headline. That's the microcosm of the bigger issue of voter. Do I say voter fraud? Voter fraud is only a part of it. It is the takeover of the election system by the it's by the lawless Democratic Socialists, bottom line. So there's that. Then we have the incoming invasion. Right now, you've got 3,300 Central Americans in Tijuana. Expect another 10,000 from three additional caravans pouring into the U.S. southern U.S. border. Now, the 3,000 in Tijuana right now, met by some pretty angry Mexicans there, is telling them to go home. Go home. It's noted that the Tijuana government, the people there, have set up, well, they're equipped to handle 700 migrants. 3,300 are present at the moment. And you've got almost a virtual standoff at the southern border, Tijuana, San Diego, and watch very carefully and closely. You're going to see a border shutdown. Again, tomorrow's headlines. You're going to see a virtual shutdown. When I say border shutdown, a virtual shutdown. Not 100% complete shutdown. There will be commerce to some extent. But President Trump I can tell you right now, he's working on this. Just to let people know, what the Hagmann Report and this show, Joe's show, what we've been able to do because of your support is we've been able to secure the overnight news feed directly from the White House, directly from the Capitol, and from the Pentagon. And we've done this through a series of relationships that we've established over the last couple of months. It's an expensive endeavor because information does cost money. Information is a commodity. But thanks to your support, we've been able to go right to the sources. And again, that includes, but is not limited to, the White House, the Pentagon, and the Capitol building. So our on-the-ground sources there are telling us that President Trump is preparing to or is dealing with this on a number of different levels. Of course, you've got the military dispatching 15,000 in total troops, which includes active as well as reservists to the military. They're putting up the barbed wire, the barriers right now. However, our sources are saying, look, it's going to get much, this is going to be, how can I put this? The response on from our side is going to be much more aggressive as the situation devolves, and it's devolving quite rapidly. So expect that. Then we've got the California wildfires collectively. My goodness, 80 confirmed dead, some 1,200 missing. That number keeps, those numbers keep going. The number of deaths keep going up. Number of missing is up and down based on people, you know, just by communications, you know, not really checking with family or it's just a mess. So 80 confirmed dead right now. One of the worst ever fires in American history. It's amazing. Now, another issue. This from our capital sources. And this is being reported in open source, of course. The United States capital, the United States drops a 181-year-old statute regarding head coverings to pander to Islamic or Muslim hijabed women or a woman. Ilhan Omar, the first Muslim woman elected to Congress, she's a Somalian American from Minnesota. So she will be allowed to wear the full hijab or headdress as well, depending on the day, depending on the event. But 181-year-old tradition out the door to accommodate or to pander to the Islamic infiltration into our Congress. You've got an interesting situation with Acosta. Now, I made a pretty big deal about the judicial ruling, the temporary restraining order about Jim Acosta, and I stand by that. However, it does appear that the judge's ruling was in response to the temporary restraining order only against Acosta and CNN. However, what's going to happen now or what's going to happen next is this will be further litigated, of course, and the White House now has got to come up with these rules of decorum, kind of like a kindergarten situation. And Acosta will be allowed back in. But our sources, again, inside the White House say he will be kicked out again. Anyway, that's kind of evolving. That story is evolving on this abbreviated holiday week. Thanksgiving, of course, this Thursday. Now, in case people are wondering, and I've wondered this, and we've actually brought this up with our sources. What about the White House, or how does one get selected for a White House press conference? Have you wondered that? Have you questioned that? You see on television the White House press office, the White House press room, I should say, and you see Sarah Huckabee Sanders standing up there taking reporters' questions. Well, have you ever asked yourself, how do the reporters, how are they selected? How, what, out of all the people that occupy the seats there, who chooses them? What's the criteria for selection? You know, when Joe and I were in the White House press room, I'll tell you right now, it's very small. There are 49 chairs in the White House press office or press room. The White House Correspondents Association essentially decides by tradition who is allowed in and who is not. It's the White House Press or White House Correspondents Association. Now, what you're going to see is some changes, and I can speak very freely about this or speak very assertively about this, you're going to see some changes to the complexion of those 49 seats. And this is a good thing because President Trump is one of the most, if not the most, accessible presidents to the press in the history, or at least in modern history. And I say that when you look at the 6 weeks leading up to the midterm elections, President Trump answered 300 times the number of questions than his two predecessors, being Obama and George W. Bush. Now consider that. 300 times the number of questions in the six weeks leading up to the midterm elections. But what I'm telling you right now, and you can count on this, the complexion of the people in that press room, the 49 chairs, and those standing along the sides and back of of that room, it's going to change. And it's going to include members of the new media. Now think about that. That's because President Trump, and of course Sarah Huckabee Sanders as well, they understand the value in circumventing the media, that the Marxist media, and going directly to the people who will report the truth and not be combative. So I think that this is a great thing. We are working, the Hagman Report and myself and the staff here are working on some measures. I don't want to say too much, except to say the complexion is going to change, and you're going to see some very positive improvements there. No longer will the James Acostas of the world necessarily dominate what you see on television, and this is a great thing. Okay, getting back to the invasion, I just want to touch on this for a second. Many people have argued about, well, you know, this invasion, it's really not an invasion. They're just people coming here for a better life. I don't know how many people have found these statistics. They were just recently released back at the beginning of this month. Folks, did you know that illegals in this country account for 22% of the murders in this country? Illegals account for 18% of the fraud, 33% of money laundering, 29% of drug trafficking, and 72% of illegal drug possession or possession of illegal drugs. Consider that against the number 6.5 to 7% that illegals comprise of our total U.S. population. Now, these numbers, when you look at the numbers, you've got to understand what these numbers mean. So illegal aliens in this country account for 22% of the murders, 18% of the fraud cases, 33% of money laundering, 29% of drug trafficking, and 72% of the possession of illegal drugs. And yet they account for, at the low end, 6.5, at the high end, 7%, 7.2% of our population, depending on who you ask. So what are we repelling here? We are, in fact, repelling an invasion. It is not a humanitarian crisis, at least not in the manner it's described by the Marxist media. And it is all of a militaristic invasion. Now, that speaks to something a little bit larger I want to get into, and that's exactly what's going on here. I mentioned the elections. I mentioned that the invasion. I mentioned the Islamic presence in our Congress, and the anecdotal story about a 181-year-old tradition. Actually, a law, but tradition being accepted for the incoming Muslim freshmen in the Congress. I talked about the Acosta situation with the press. But there's something bigger here. And what's bigger is the larger war. These are all spokes to a bigger wheel or to a wheel. And at the epicenter of this wheel, of course, is the Marxist Muslim invasion of America. And it's what we're seeing is the attempted, and I say this all the time, is the attempted takedown of the United States from within, using our own laws against us, using insiders, people inside our own country against us. And I found a number of different things, purely the hard way. I did not know that InfoWars was reporting on this. There is a very interesting cultural, I don't know what you'd call it, cultural educational series. Let me grab my notes here. InfoWars had reported on this, but Radical Cram School, I just want to mention this as part of, as kind of an overlay of all the spokes here. A Radical Cram School founded by Elizabeth Banks, who's an actress and director, and Christina Wong, they're teaching our children some pretty horrible things, at least in my view. Christina Wong as Auntie Christina. And let me paint the picture of this for you. I'll put the link to the video in the program description. But consider this. Consider a group, I don't know, maybe a dozen young girls appearing to be of Asian descent sitting on the floor, and this Christina Wong teaching these young girls about any number of social issues, from transgenderism to other social constructs. You've got to see this video to believe it. But this is an initiative that's kind of taking the United States, at least in the Marxist realm, by storm. It's becoming increasingly popular. Don't discount the popularity, despite the obvious insanity of this. And in fact, here's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to play. You've got to watch this, really, to really fully appreciate this. But what I'll do right now is I'll play the audio clip from the video. Listen to this, because this will kick off the rest of the remainder of the program as I explain to you how everything I mentioned leading up to this point is part of a larger agenda, as you well know, as I've often said during this program. But go ahead and play clip one.
Welcome to Radical Cram School. We're going to learn about social justice, revolution, and how to be powerful in the body that you have. Hello, my young comrades.
Hi.
I'm going to show a picture. This is my way of figuring out if you've been tainted by the patriarchy.
Patriarchy? What?
Oh, I grew that.
Who do you think it is?
This looks creepy.
It looks creepy. Why?
There's just like this thing about white people that just makes me be like, they're like right there in a pool, and I'm just like walking into the pool, and they just give me the death stare, and then I'm just like.
So if this guy was in the pool, you would moonwalk out.
Bad.
Does he look like a good guy or a bad guy?
Bad guy.
Who do we think this is? Make a guess.
Oh, Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. Who is he married to? Who's your guess?
Katy Perry.
Donald Trump!
It's Donald Duck.
What do we know about him? What do we know about him?
He's bad.
Unfortunately, the president.
I want to fire him.
I want to build a wall.
How do we feel about this wall?
It is blocking opportunity for people that don't live in America to come here for a better opportunity.
And we all came at some point from some other place.
My dad came here and my mom came here too.
They came here from where?
Cambodia.
Oh, wow. What do you think they think, that they came from all the way to Cambodia and this is what they get to look at on the TV screen all the time?
Hello Kitty!
It is Hello
kitty, what is she missing?
Where's her mouth?
No, her mouth. Why doesn't she have a mouth?
The people who created her didn't want Asian girls
to speak up about who they are.
Yeah, to speak up about who they were.
Very profound, very profound. So if Hello Kitty had a mouth, what would she say if she had a mouth? She's been keeping vaulted up in her all these years. Let me hear it. Alyssa, what are you going to say?
I love you.
Oh.
Radical Cram School!
Okay, there you have it. There you have it. Just no words at this point. Obviously, the opening, "Hello, my young comrades." What kind of language is that? And these are young children. I'm going to say 8, 9, 10 years old. I don't know. In that area, young girls, again, of mostly Asian descent, or that's what they appear to be. Radical Cram School, Christina Wong, Elizabeth Banks. This is what the young children are being exposed to. This is child abuse, by the way. Oh, because you couldn't see it. The first picture, the first picture was of Harvey Weinstein. The last picture, of course, you obviously know, and that was Donald Trump. And did you catch the reaction, the verbalization by the young children? It was almost as if they're programmed to hate Donald Trump. Now, so far, in my investigation of this radical cram school, there have been several, I'm going to say six, published segments, each one as bad as that, addressing vocabulary. Transgenderism, which this really kind of this first segment kind of touched on, and some other hot button issues. But can you see what is taking place right now in this country? And I think you can. All right, now hold that thought, because I want to play you another audio segment. This has to do with a teacher in Missouri. Maybe you've heard about this. Maybe you haven't. A teacher in Missouri who was suspended from his school, asked to leave his school, a substitute teacher, 66 years old, because he thanked the students who stood for the national anthem. There were 24 children in, or 24 young people in his class. It was a high school class. 24 in the class, 22 stood for the national anthem. 2 did not. He thanked the 22 who stood. Didn't say anything about the 2 who didn't. One of the 2 who didn't stand, along with their parents, filed a complaint against this teacher. I'll tell you what, here's the audio clip. Now, forgive the ups and downs of the audio here. It's not the best audio, but you'll get the idea. Have a listen to this and consider this along with what you just heard about this radical cram school, because these are not unrelated. The initiatives are the same. Go ahead and play clip 2.
Talking about this one, right? A district spokeswoman tells us this is considered bullying, a form of it. Let me explain. The teacher, Jim Ferkin, says he simply thanks students for standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance, but at least one student who did not stand felt singled out, bullied. It's a school district where school board members stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and where the nickname for Parkway South High School is Patriots.
And the PA announcer says, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. So I come, let's go. The kids get up. In this particular case, 24 kids in class, 22 got up. You know, so I say, thank you very much, all of you that participated. I appreciate that. And I'm sure all those families that lost loved ones so that we could have the freedoms that we have today would appreciate that too. And that's what I said.
Perkins says he's been a substitute teacher for the district for about 10 years and filling in at Parkway South almost daily for the past five. Now district officials have told him he can no longer work at South, but can continue at other schools. He just told the school board he would not be doing so.
How in the world can we go from thanking the kids for saying the Pledge of Allegiance to being charged with bullying even occur? It's kind of like saying, Miss Davis, I like your hair tonight, but if I don't say Miss Hopper, if I don't say the same thing to Miss Hopper, she gets offended. And then you guys say, as a collective group, we don't want you to come to the board meetings anymore.
That flag is not to be taken for granted, in my opinion. It is our symbol of freedom.
Superintendent Dr. Keith Marty now says the students who did not stand were humiliated and teased by the others. He also says Firkin has run afoul of school policy in the past by recording video of students at another high school without their permission and by sharing his personal contact information with students. Still, it's only after the pledge incident that Firkin has let go, and to him, it just doesn't add up. Are you done?
Yeah, I've had enough, you know. And it's a shame. I mean, I that's what I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss the kids.
Now, the superintendent's letter to parents and staff tonight says that it's not Firkin's job to encourage the pledge. The letter says, we proudly recite it in all schools, but students choose whether to participate. It's not the role of the educators to make a judgment about that choice.
And this story is going nationwide now. It's all over the place. So, big one. Thank you, Andy.
All right. Did you get that? Yeah. My reaction to, are you serious? To paraphrase or to quote Pastor Paul Begley, are you serious? This is what we've been reduced to. This is what we are fighting. We are fighting ourselves from within. There's an interesting, to kind of put this into perspective. And again, I mentioned a number of different news items. The problems, the reactions, and the solutions in part. The solutions in part, of course, with respect to the illegal invasion, you've got the military response and the wall. With respect to what I mentioned earlier, the elections, you've got the resignation of Brenda Snipes, but also the launching of an investigation, a criminal investigation, into Snipes as well. With respect to the press, the way Jim Acosta has, in my view, has treated the president, the office of the presidency, you've got new rules being formed. So there's a problem. There's the reaction. The reaction, of course, being that by the public, framed under a mainstream media narrative, a Marxist media narrative, and then the solution, and that's where Donald Trump comes in. In many cases, and of course, rolling out potential responses or solutions to what I just mentioned. But what I just played, the two audio segments I just played. The one of the radical cram school, as well as the other audio of a news report about a teacher in Missouri being asked not to come back and, of course, subsequently retiring because of this Marxist mentality, this Marxist infiltration, speaks of a larger problem. And that's what I want to address. One of the things, and I'm going to put this in the program description box, one of the issues, the larger issues that was discussed intellectually, it was a brilliant, in my view, intellectual discussion. It was by Mark Levin interviewing Victor Davis Hanson, and it was on Sunday. It comes in two parts, I believe, and to the extent that it will remain on YouTube, I'll put the links in the program description box below. But I would urge everyone to take a listen, to to view Mark Levin, Life, Liberty, well, his show on Fox, and his discussion with Victor Davis Hanson, because this discussion really strikes at the heart of what we're dealing with. And we're looking at this, the populism versus versus nationalism, totalitarianism. We're looking at nationalism versus populism. And nationalism, of course, is being vilified by the Marxist media. Of course, what else would you expect? But in this particular interview, I would urge everyone to listen to this and watch this. It's about 40 minutes long. But the intellectual conversation about where we're at, how we got here, and where we're headed. Brilliantly done. Absolutely brilliantly done. And that's really what I'm talking about here in this episode. And I do want to apologize. If this seems like I just tossed a lot of information at you, seemingly unrelated, it's not. It's all related. We have to understand, in order to win the war, we've got to understand, at least in my view, that there is nothing really happening by accident today. The timing of this alien invasion is not accidental. It's not coincidental. It's very deliberate. The indoctrination of our children, it's been happening for decades. But now it's more overt and it's more incendiary. And it's much more punishing to the average individual, to the normal person. It is not happening. The timing of it is not coincidental. It's not accidental. Now, there will be some artifacts of every item I mention that will be exploited by accident or by coincidence, well-timed. But the major aspects of this, again, this is a war against the United States. And I really hope everyone understands that we are at war. And our country has been invaded, allowed to be invaded, arguably, really since 1965, by people who do not have the same values that we have, by people who don't have the same desire to assimilate into our country. And I'm not talking just merely about the alien invasion. Couple that or combine that with the indoctrination of our young children, as well as the pollution by academia at higher educational levels, by the Ivy League schools. All of this is by design. And that's the point I really want to make in this episode. It's all by design. And if you think about it, many people will say, well, if Hillary Clinton would have succeeded in obtaining the office of the president, the nation would be far worse off. As a matter of fact, she would have finished off the United States. If you think about that, and you take a good hard look at where we are, you'll understand. I think everyone will understand. It will make that position come to life. Because we are so far down that rabbit hole, so far down that change or the fundamental changing of America, transformation of America, I'm not sure we can get back from where we're at. Now, I'm not going to stop trying. I don't think anyone should stop trying. But consider, if it were not for Donald Trump, exactly where we would be today. It's frightening to think. Now, this takes me to the, an article by Selwyn Duke in American Thinker published this morning, From Midterms to End Times. Now, that sounds it sounds frightening, doesn't it? It sounds hyperbolic. But when you read the article by Selwyn Duke, From Midterms to End Times, it really points out where we're at today. writes Selwyn Duke, truly great disasters come like a thief in the night. How many foresaw Rome sacking in 410 AD, her collapse 66 years later, World War I or World War II? As for today, how many see what the United States is at what some call a tipping point, what others may call a fourth turning? Whatever you call it, the American Republic is in its last days. Now, this is where I kind of separate from him. You know, I think the Republic as we know it, or as we once knew it, is in its last days. But I think, although we're at that point, perhaps of no return, we cannot give up hope. Anyway, continuing with this, and this sums it up nicely. The so-called left, what I would call the Marxist left, obviously, the Democratic Socialists, who are nothing but Marxist or closet communists, ever violent since its French Revolution birth and power-hungry as ever, wholly controls the culture, and that includes the media, mainstream and social media, academia, and entertainment. And this is what was discussed between Victor Davis Hanson and Mark Levin. Anyway, this means that it controls long-term politics, since the latter is downstream of culture. Now, referencing the interview with Victor Davis Hanson, there was a discussion about, I'm more optimistic about the long-term future of America than I am of the short-term. And you'll understand when you take the time to really look at that interview and soak up the interview. I watched it twice. Donald Trump's 2016 victory, asserts Selwyn Duke, it will not make America great again. It was merely a stay of execution, a prolonging of the inevitable. Now, again, we talk about the election and the presidency of Donald Trump being a respite, and I agree with that. Now, I agree as well that it is merely a respite. We've got to make the changes. We've got to eradicate the Marxist ideology that has so infused into our culture and into various departments of government, agencies of government. But Selwyn Duke writes that this should have been obvious, meaning the stay of execution. This should have been obvious in a country that could elect Barack Obama and then, like the Titanic having backed up to hit the iceberg again, re-elect him. Now, okay, very good analogy here. The notion that this was a standard result for a president's first midterm is only comforting. Now, this is with respect to the midterm elections, when viewing matters in relative terms. That is, the political spectrum has always a right and a left side, no matter how far left that spectrum moves. The problem is civilization ebbs and flows and collapses. Civilization ebbs and flows and collapses are governed by absolutes, such as right and wrong, not relative qualities, such as right and left. So think about this for a second. We're talking about right and wrong, to say it otherwise, good and evil, or good versus evil, evil versus good, and not right and left. I've been saying this for quite some time. Moving forward, talking about the Democratic Socialist, Democratic Party, we cannot look at the Democratic Party as a Democratic Party any longer. We can't even look at it, in my view, as the Democratic Socialist Party any longer. We've got to look at it as the Marxist Party, or as the Fascist Party, in my view. Otherwise, we're fooling ourselves, and this is just my opinion here, my reasoned opinion, but based on a lot of research, we are fooling ourselves by downplaying the significance of the Marxist ideology in the Democratic Socialist Party, because they are out for blood. They are out to destroy the United States. You heard it. You heard two audio clips. The first one, of course, the insane teaching of our young children, which is tantamount to, in my view, to child abuse. And then, of course, a 66-year-old substitute teacher being told he's not wanted any longer because why? He thanked 22 of 24 students for standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Look at the erosion that's taking place right now, the cultural rot inside the United States of America. That's the bigger picture. And too few, in my view, are reporting on this. Oh, sure, we'll talk about the alien invasion. We'll talk about the election fraud. Those, in my view, are, for example, the election fraud. That's more of a consequence of a corrupted system than it is the system working itself. There's a deeper issue. There's a deeper underlying issue at play here. When you start, okay, so when you look at what we saw with respect to the midterms, there's no way to color this other than the fact that the Democrat or the left, I should say, the Marxist left, the left are moving so far to the left. It's almost incalculable, the damage being caused to the United States. You have voters, this time empowered, socialistic to socialist to closet communist. Sexual devolution, rabble-rousing, low IQ, no virtue, ignorant freaks. Those who often encourage political violence by their Antifa brown shirt useful idiots. So this is not, as Selwyn Duke writes, your great-grandfather's America. So when you look at the election, the midterms, when you start digging into the electoral numbers and do so honestly, it tells a tale. 90% of blacks, 79% of Jews, 77% of Asians, 69% of Hispanics, and 59% of women voted Democrat. Same as usual. Now, again, I don't subscribe to Selwyn Duke's sense of futility here. For example, he wrote, can we stop now with the talk about Blexit or the walkaway movement? Or how Hispanics are natural conservatives, or how Jews are waking up the left's anti-Semitism and such. I believe that we, the new media, and you and I, the people who listen to the new media, are the answer here. If I thought it was futile, I wouldn't write another word. I wouldn't do another program. I wouldn't say another thing. I'd pack my bags and go somewhere, live the rest of my life quietly. But you can't do that. I can't do that. And by you listening to this show, you're not inclined to do that either. Now, but we cannot fool ourselves or be fooled by the severity of our condition. Where Mr. Duke is correct, the voters are only getting worse as well for three basic reasons: immigration, indoctrination, and moral corruption. So based on those two audio segments that I played for you, you have indoctrination and moral corruption, and I've been talking about immigration. So where are we at here with this? We must recognize that there has, because of the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, ever since the nation-rending Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, ever since that took effect in 68, 85 to 90% of our immigrants have been third worlders. And 70 to 90% of them support Democrats upon naturalization. And even those who don't, by the way. This obviously has caused a historic demographic shift and attendant electoral one, by the way, that has seen our nation go from an 85%+ white group in 1965, to only a 61% non-Hispanic white today. And when you further define the political impact of that using conservative figures, it becomes even more alarming. Every year, the United States absorbs 1.3 million legal immigrants. Now, okay, that's legal. 1.3 million legal immigrants every year. If 1 million ultimately remain and are naturalized, and 50 and half of them vote, 50% of them vote, and 80% of that number votes Democrat, it means a net gain for the Marxist Democrats, Democratic Socialists, the Marxists, of 300,000 voters every year. 3 million every decade, if you do the math. And the latter was Hillary Clinton's purported 2016 popular vote advantage. Those numbers also translate into 15 million new Marxist voters every 50 years, which was as much as Barack Obama's 08 and 2012 popular vote margins combined. When you toss in illegal migration and illegal invasion and consequential amnesties, the numbers rise. And you can see where we are headed. He writes that we cannot make America great again unless we make America moral again. And this is exactly what we've been saying. For the Hagmann Report, consider the people that we've had on. If you listen to that show, the reason the Hagmann Report addresses morality, addresses the Judeo-Christian ethic, is because at its base, we must have a moral society. Remember, our Constitution, our rule of law, is only suitable for a moral and arguably Judeo-Christian body. As Ben Franklin put it, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Yet academia, media, and especially entertainment subject each generation to an ever-intensifying demoralization process. Now, in this article by Selwyn Duke, writes, so let's crunch some more numbers. Between Trump's 2016 victory and Election Day 2020, more than 10 million Americans will have died, mostly older, and they're a relatively conservative voting demographic. They will, more or less, be replaced, however, by approximately 16 million young people who will turn 18 during those years. And unlike their conservative elders, they'll disproportionately cast ballots for the hardcore left. And when you consider this ongoing immigration and indoctrination-enabled electoral degradation process, it is now clearer why we on the right have lost the popular vote in 6 of the last 7 presidential races. The point is well made here. When you look at, because none of this happened overnight. And again, I'm looking at the big picture, and I want everyone to understand the big picture. I can go through the news headlines. We can talk, of course, about the caravan at the border. We can talk about the issue of illegal alien invasion. We can talk about the well, the various issues of what you heard with respect to the moral or immoral indoctrination of our children. But those are some, those are parts of the total. Those are the, what is that saying? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's kind of where that is what I'm trying to address here. The larger picture. Now, in addition to all of this, what do we see taking place in the justice, in the sphere of justice? We, as a population, and I think you'll agree with me on this, are we not getting a little bit impatient with respect to the lack of justice that we're seeing against those people who have broken the law? Right now, as we stand here, as I talk today, we're looking at a rogue special counsel, Mueller, Robert Mueller, and his 18 angry Democrats, 17 angry Democrats, just pounding and pounding and pounding on the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Never before in the history of any presidency, and most assuredly not in recent times, has there been such a blowback from the election of one man. And that started, of course, it didn't just start on May 17th of 2016 or 2017 when the special counsel was put in place. In my view, it started as soon as President Trump announced that he was running for election. Because he was an outsider. He is an outsider. He's not a politician. You could tell that by his tweets. You could tell that by he's a businessman. And that's why that we can relate to him, at least most of us can relate to his plain speak, of his bluntness. He's not a politician. He's not a polished politician. Aren't we sick and tired of those polished politicians who have led us into where we're at today? Which is why, when we take a look at the bigger picture, which is why the midterms are so important to us, or I like looking at the midterms, because they, at least in my view, they serve as kind of a barometer or a meter of sorts of where this country is headed. Now, there's good and bad news, of course. The bad news, yeah, we lost perhaps upwards of 40 seats. You know, again, the counting hasn't stopped, despite the fact that the election day is over, 40 seats in the House. But the good news, yeah, we have a total of 53 senators out of 100, so we've got the majority there. We did see some successes in gubernatorial races in Georgia and in Florida, very significant, as well as the senatorial races in Florida and elsewhere. But you're also seeing a move that was predicted and will remain a threat to our country until we stop it. And that is the Marxism encroachment on our urban areas, the Marxism takeover of the cities all across the United States. And this is where I think the biggest problem is. So this episode, when I was mapping this episode out for today, I'm looking at the bigger picture. I'm looking at the parts of this bigger picture. I'm looking at the parts that are making the headlines for this larger image that we have before us. And I want to make sure that we speak directly, we address directly the bigger picture. Because without this bigger picture, without knowing or without understanding that we are being assaulted from within, without understanding that the enemy is already here and they have pockets of control, and that the enemy already here is now going to be taking over the majority of the House of Representatives, what's that going to do, by the way? That is going to push the investigation of the FBI and Department of Justice into the Senate. One might say that's a win because of the power of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Others might say, well, we're never going to see any redress or any justice coming from the House. And I do believe that to be the case. Instead, you're going to have a House of Representatives that will be completely antagonistic toward the agenda of Donald Trump and thus the American people, or at least the American people who don't self-identify as socialists or Marxists. So we're at a turning point, at a tipping point right now. And this, if there's nothing else that you get from this episode, we cannot afford to sit on our hands. We cannot afford to do nothing. We have to move forward. We have to fight. Because what is our option? Our option, our only other option, is to just throw up our hands and say, that's it, we're done. And I know not seeing perp walks by people who have committed crimes, for example, Brenda Snipes. In my view, a criminal investigation should be launched into her activities. That's one example. The larger example, of course, being all of the FBI and Department of Justice and even CIA involvement in the coup attempt against Donald Trump. We should be seeing perp walks. And I know that people are so fed up with not seeing that. But we have to keep fighting. And we're fighting our own amongst ourselves because of the, my goodness, it's we're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's easy to get disillusioned. It's easy to say, man, we're not going to make it. Nothing I do matters. But see, it does. And this is where the power of prayer comes in. This is where we have to recognize that what we're fighting is we're fighting this on a spiritual level as much as we are in the practical sense. And this is why we also have to understand, for example, why repelling this alien invasion and ridding the illegals in this country, getting rid of them, busing them out of here, flying them out of here, doing whatever it takes to rid those illegals in this country, to de-Balkanize the United States. That's why this is so important. We can never give up. But again, understand, from the illegal immigration or illegal invasion to everything I've mentioned, to the moral decline, these are all battlefields. And this is a bigger war. And it's a war to take down the United States. And it's a war against President Trump. But more importantly, it's a war between you or against us, you and me. And President Trump is merely a respite. He's merely, look, they're coming after us. And the only thing that's stopping that is President Trump standing in the way. So this is why we have to fight. This is why we have to realize the lateness of the hour. This is why we have to realize that we need to put skin in the game. And we need to fight back. And we can do that on the local level. For example, the teacher in Missouri, you heard that? We should stand behind him. And it's, I guarantee you, it is happening in your community. And you, we, together, can stand behind people like that and be vocal and say, we're not going to put up with this. And as far as the radical indoctrination of our children, we can do something there too. We're not going to put up with that. We're not going to allow that. So there are a lot of things that we can do. Don't give up, especially now. Folks, thank you so much for listening. It's Monday. It's a holiday week. Boy, a lot of things going on. Thanks for listening. God bless you. If you like what you heard, share this on social media. Follow me on Twitter at HagmanPI. Follow Hagman Report at Hagman Report. May God bless.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.